This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you're all doing well, inshallah ta'ala. The tiredness of Ramadan is setting in, right? The tiredness of all the extra ibadah, alhamdulillah. And that extra ibadah will pay off, right? It's like going to the gym for 10 years straight and working out. And then in the end, you know, you see all that beautifulness all over you, alhamdulillah. And then, you know, you just cherish the fact that you worked really hard for it. Well, in Jannah, inshallah, we see all that beautifulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us because of all the sacrifices that we've made throughout this month of Ramadan. We will enjoy it, inshallah ta'ala. So tonight is the 25th night. So as a reminder, once again, we are going to be live streaming from within the Islamic Community Center of Milton later on tonight, inshallah ta'ala. But for now, we're going to be covering the 25th juz of the Quran. So tomorrow's the 25th day. Then we have 26 and 27, 28, 29, and 30. And so next Sunday, inshallah ta'ala, Eid, right? So just a few more days. Today is Sunday, another few more days, and that's it, subhanAllah. So the countdown begins to the end of Ramadan. There will be no other Sunday. This is our last Sunday of the month of Ramadan. Tomorrow will be the last Monday, and then Tuesday will be the last Tuesday. Wednesday will be the last Wednesday. This Friday will be the last Friday. And then inshallah ta'ala will be Eid after that. So we need to push hard. We need to push really hard. And don't let go now. A good portion of the day, I'll tell you, I'll be very frank, a good portion of today was spent, people asking me questions or was spent receiving messages from people asking about Ramadan, asking about Eid, right? Asking about the day of Eid and how we're going to pray Eid and, you know, drive through Eid and all this different stuff. And my answer to that is, it is only the 25th day of Ramadan. Wait, just calm down. We're going to, you know, we will announce these things. We'll explain these things as time goes on. So don't worry about it right now, inshallah. Let's wait until, you know, we get closer to the day of Eid in order to announce what we're actually going to be doing for Eid. If there is going to be an Eid, if there isn't going to be an Eid prayer, then it is still the day of Eid and how we're going to do it and so on and so forth. Okay, so just wait, inshallah. Be patient. Sabr. Right, Ramadan teaches us patience, alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to begin with Surah Ash-Shura. And what happened here? Why am I not on the right page? Surah Ash-Shura. Oh, there we are. So we finished off Surah Fussilat yesterday. There was just a few more ayats. We're not going to go through it. We'll begin with Surah Ash-Shura. And it's titled The Consultation, right? The Consultation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, of course, titling it The Consultation, the importance of seeking shura, the importance of consulting with others. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that when we go and consult with someone else, when we seek someone else's advice, that person should be someone that we trust. And the person who is being consulted from, right? Someone comes and consults with you. Someone comes and asks you for advice. Then know that that person is trusting you with whatever advice that you're going to give them. Some people will make decisions about their lives with regards to it. So consultation is important in the deen. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do. And we see it in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also see that it's important because at times it can level things out, where some people would take advantage of others, or some people will, do things in their own favor. They will lead without consultation of the community. And, you know, yesterday we had that iftar with Minister Ahmed Hussein and MP Adam Van Couverden and Councillor Zishan and Samira. And one thing that Minister Ahmed Hussein was saying was that, the Prime Minister of the country, Justin Trudeau, what he tells them all the time is, we can't effectively run this country, we can't effectively lead, and be leaders unless we listen to the people. You have to listen to the people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that already. We know that as Muslims, right? We need to consult with one another, and it's absolutely important to receive the consultation of the people around you who have knowledge in the topic. So there's two things that I want to start with before actually getting into verse are we going to start with? 16. Two things. First of all, the person who is being consulted, right, has to know that the person I'm giving advice to is coming to me, and they will trust me to give them good knowledge. The people that are going to others should not go to people who they don't trust with the knowledge. And we should not put people in positions that we don't trust and then go and, you know, ask someone else behind their back. How does that make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, you know, as an example here in Canada, Justin Trudeau is the prime minister, but we're going to go and ask someone else and do what that other person wants. Why would we do that? Like, we're supposed to consult with the people that are leading the country, because they are the ones who we can hold accountable for any mistakes afterwards in the future, right? So it's a heavy position, no doubt. Leading, you have to lead by example, but you need to lead with wisdom and hikmah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the importance of doing that, right? And then here in verse number 16, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ. As for those who dispute about Allah, after he is already acknowledged by many, as in those who, just think of it as Muslims that are arguing amongst themselves about certain things, right? Muslims that are arguing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their argument is futile in the sight of Allah, upon them is wrath, and they will suffer a severe punishment. Why? They both believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're disputing over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Why? Like, you both believe in Allah. Khalas, move on. Move on together. Understand the deen of Allah and accept it and move on. And then Allah says in verse number 17, it is Allah who has revealed the book with the truth and the balance of justice. You never know, perhaps the hour is near. Those who disbelieve in it ask to hasten the hour, right? The day of judgment, in a mocking sort of form. But the believers are fearful of it, knowing that it is the truth. Surely those who dispute about the hour have gone far astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, don't dispute. And this is important, especially if you're running an organization, you're running a masjid, you're the board member, you're a shura member, you're a committee member, you're a management committee, or, you know, you, whatever you want to call it. Alhamdulillah, I'm not on any boards, and I don't like being on any boards, because I find a lot of the time, and growing up, this is what I always saw. As a child, there was always dispute and argument amongst board members, committee members, shura members, and then there's more, you know, committees that are formed in order. It's just a big mess. My brothers and sisters, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we need to do this? Right? Consult with one another. And if you have someone who's appointed in a position to make those decisions from an Islamic perspective, consult with that person, trust their decision, and know that that person or those who have been put in a position to make those decisions are the ones who will have to give account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when, for example, if a masjid or organization, you know, doesn't listen to their imam, doesn't take the advice of their imam for Islamic matters, then those people, first of all, they're going to lose their imam very fast, right? I'll tell you that. Unless the imam really, you know, doesn't know what he's doing, you know, or for some reason he's stuck or locked in there, maybe it's a contract. But generally speaking, he'll probably leave very fast. And the other thing is, if that committee is not going to listen to them, then know that you have the responsibility to lead your community, and you will also have the responsibility to give account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you're not going to listen to the people of knowledge, and Allah tells us in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So if you're not going to listen to the people of knowledge, and you're not going to take the knowledge that Allah has blessed them with, for example, as a mechanic, right, someone who knows automotive technology, who knows cars, who knows how they work, I would never go to, and I gave this example before, I would never go to a medical doctor to ask him how to fix my car. You know, he might be able to do a bypass surgery. And I was thinking of this when my father in January had his, you know, quintuple bypass surgery, 5 bypasses. And we never thought that that would ever be something my dad would go through. But the surgeon, alhamdulillah, managed to do this surgery. And it took longer than expected. But alhamdulillah, everything, you know, in the end was alhamdulillah, right? There are still are some complications, lots of complications, but alhamdulillah, it is what it is. But the surgeon is able to do something so intricate, so amazing. And I watched a video the night before my father had the surgery. I went on YouTube and I watched two full bypass surgery operations that were done by, you know, doctors, and, you know, they record it for medical students. And I watched it and I was like, subhanAllah, it's amazing. Because when you think of it from a mechanical perspective, just getting the air out of the line is like getting air out of your brake line in your car. So there's similarities, but how do you get the air out of that line? If you have air in the brake line of your car and your brakes don't work, you'll crash into a wall or you'll crash into whatever's in front of you. If you have air inside of your arteries or your veins, right, and your heart begins to pump, you'll probably die. Allah knows best. But it was just amazing how they used gravity to get that out. And so the two professions are amazing, both amazing, absolutely amazing in terms of technology and design and craft and everything. But both are different. I would never take my car to a surgeon to change, you know, parts on my car. I would never do that. And vice versa. They would never do that either, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. The people who have knowledge in their fields, you go to them, you consult with them. And I really like to hit this point home, because I remember when reading through books of tafsir many years ago, the thought of the arguments that I witnessed when I was a child in the masajid that we grew up in, and those arguments probably still carry on. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, teaches us how not to argue. Don't argue about things. The deen of Allah is set. It's there. There's no need to argue. There's no need to dispute. And those of us who are going to dispute, then remember there's a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move on. Enough of my rant with masajid, you know, and whatnot. Can't believe I just did that. But it's important. It's advice. Advice in the Quran. People say, oh, why are you talking about this? Don't talk about it. No, it's advice in the Quran. We shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be shy to talk about this stuff. Verse number 30. The cause of any disaster, right, or hardship that we faced is most likely because of our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever affliction befalls you is because of what your own hands have committed. So whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, whatever test comes to you, whatever hardships human beings are being faced with, whatever shar or negativity or evil is being spread is because of our own deeds, our own hands, what we have committed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons much. So my brothers and sisters, when we see that there's disagreement, and I link this. In fact, when I was preparing for my notes, I said I'm going to link this with what we just said from verse number 16, that organizations and board members, masajid and so on, where, you know, there's always dispute. Remember this, that if there's constant dispute and there's never calmness, there's never peace, there's never serenity, there's no sakina in the community, it's probably because of, well, it isn't probably, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is, because of our own actions, our own hands, what we've done. But if an organization or masajid or board members see that there are problems within, then they should clean up what's going on within. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the situation moving forward. But until we don't clean up the mess internally, until we don't clean up a mess in our own selves, right? Allah's talking about this from a individual perspective, but also generally, right? It applies to the masses, because us, whatever we go through in life is because a lot of the time, because of the decisions we've made, the things that we've done, the places we've gone to, how we spent our money, how we saved our money, how we invested, how we didn't invest, and so on and so forth. Did we learn the deen? Did we strengthen our iman? Did we, you know, fix our family ties? Did we take care of our children properly? Did we recite enough Quran? Did we show our family that we're doing ibadah openly, or are we doing it in, you know, hiding in our room, making wudu, hiding in the bathroom? The family doesn't know what's going on. Our children have no idea how to even worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these questions we need to ask ourselves. If something comes down the road, my child is not praying. Well, did I show my child that I was praying? Did I show my child that I paid attention to salah, that it was important for me? And not only that it was important from a ritualistic aspect, but it was important because the salah has a direct impact upon my life. And we need to make that link. We need to draw that line and connect the dots for our children and show them how this deen plays a role in our lives. So years down the line, when something happens and we start to complain, understand, my brothers and sisters, we are to blame. And not only are we are to blame, but Allah will bring goodness. If we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek forgiveness and we change ourselves, when we leave off what we were doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring goodness to our lives, and we will see the change from bad to good in the future of our own lives and the lives of the people around us. We ask subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strength. Ameen. All right, Instagram is back. Anytime it goes out, I stop and I pause and it comes back. Alhamdulillah, you're back. Jazakumullah khairan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, you know, from an individual to look after themselves, but also, and I tie this into organizations. If you find that there's a flaw within your organization, you find that your company that you work for is not, there's a lot of evil things that are going on internally and it's bad and it's not fun to work at that place and so on, then you shouldn't be there, right? Find something else. Because until the people internally change and until things get stirred up internally, no change is ever going to happen, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He does not change the situation of a nation, a qawm, a people, حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ until they change what is within themselves. And so if we're not going to change within, we're going to change. Don't be patient with it, my brothers and sisters. Give it all we've got. Try to change as best as we can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Him. And that change will come. Let's move to verse number 40 to 43 of Surah Ash-Shura. In verse number 40 to 43, we see how it is better to forgive someone than to seek revenge. And as Muslims, we know that we are allowed to, if someone, for example, I gave this example earlier today, if someone hits us, right? Like you're chilling with your friends, and when your friend's like, hey man, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a while. And you're like, ow, that actually hurt. And if you want to take justice, you can go and hit them back. Of course, with the permission of the person or with the permission of a judge or with the permission of the law authorities upon us, right? Can't just go and do something on our own. Islamically, we're not allowed to do that. Okay, so if the person says, that's fine, hit me back, right? I hurt you, hit me back so I feel the pain as well. Then that's a different story, right? And you know, people arguing and going at it, then of course. Now, in Islam, though, if someone else, nutshell, very simply, this miswak, well, I can take the miswak and hit them back. But not with more force than what they hit me with, and not with less force than what they hit me with. You could do less if you want. The less is fine. But generally, it's supposed to be an equal amount of force if that's what you want, right? However, you can go less force. You can change it. Remember in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he, you know, poked the sahabi in his belly before the salah. And so, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want my revenge. You know, you did this to me and I have a right. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted up his shirt and the Sahabi bent down and he kissed the belly of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, he went light on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't go as hard or as severe or as harsh on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, that's something that we saw that's really interesting, really beautiful. So here also, All right, live ended. Give me 1 second, open my door. I know why the live streaming stopped. My wife is live streaming as well. She's doing another event downstairs, alhamdulillah. So she's live streaming for someone else, and then someone's at the door, so the kids are going to have to get that. I just noticed that through the window. Alhamdulillah. Working from home has its pros and cons. So I open the window to get some Wi-Fi ventilation to come through there, and I open the door to get some Wi-Fi ventilation through there, so hopefully it doesn't cut off, inshallah. All right. So Allah says that the reward of an evil deed is its equivalent, but whoever pardons and seeks reconciliation, then their reward is with Allah. He certainly does not like the wrongdoers. There is no blame on those who enforce justice after being wronged. Okay? I know the live streaming is not working properly. I just restarted it. So don't worry. Jazakumullahu khairan for letting me know. It should be fine now, inshallah. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, blame is only on those who wrong people and transgress in the land unjustly. And it is they who will suffer a painful torment. So those who are oppressors, those who are oppressing people that are spreading evil across the land, they will receive this punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not us. It's not us. We don't want punishment for others. We don't want people to go through hardship. We don't like that they're doing hardship or giving hardship to others, and we don't want it for them either. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes justice in his own control. And whoever endures patiently and forgives, surely this is a resolve to aspire to. So whoever is patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated upon them, as in you're going through hardship, and that is from the plan of Allah. Remember, that is from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some people will face hardship, some people will go through difficulty. However, if we're patient with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us abundantly. Also, if we're patient with the hardships that people give to us or things that people do to us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the reward of an evil deed is that of its equivalent, but whoever pardons, subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. Afa here is not just forgiving. You're not forgiving the person. You are pardoning them. As in you are agreeing to not only forgive, but to also forget. To forgive, but also forget what they've done. Afa. And this is why we say in these last 10 days of Ramadan, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Right? So we ask Allah to pardon our sins, to completely remove them, to erase them from our book of deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us throughout this month of Ramadan. So those who transgress, they will receive the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is they who are doing what is unjust, and Allah is not pleased with that. Okay? Let's move on, inshallah. We have a few surahs to cover. So we go to Surah Az-Zukhruf. We have Surah Az-Zukhruf, Surah Ad-Dukhan, and Surah Ad-Jathiyah to cover as well. Okay, so Surah Az-Zukhruf, let's go to verse number 9. And all you notice all of these surahs start with Hamim, Hamim, Hamim. Okay, someone's asking a question here. Can we keep eating until Adhan, or do we have to stop eating 5 minutes before the Adhan while doing Suhoor? You can eat right up until the Adhan, okay? وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, right? He doesn't say O Prophet here, but you know, he's calling out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask them, who created the heavens and earth? They will certainly say, the Almighty, the Knowing, is the one who did it. The Almighty, the Knowing, did it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that it contains. And so the mushrikun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the non-believers know. They know that Allah is the one that created the heavens and the earth. And they believe in Allah as Lord. So the mushrikun, those idol worshippers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, and generally we could say almost every single human being believes that there is a supreme being, right? a Lord, but they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that. So whether it's through, you know, things like the Trinity or like using statues or seeking intercession from others and so on, that is shirk. And that's not, you know, the pure form of ibadah that we're supposed to be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And so we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, why I say this, is not human beings. We generally acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, regardless of faith, regardless of belief. You'll notice that when people go through hardships, they say, call out to God. They will ask religious people, pray for us, right? And I've given this example multiple times. I love flying and I can't wait to fly again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy. Losing all my status with the airlines. But anyways, you know, it's you get into an airplane and it's a time when you're leaving the earth, you're going up in the sky, and you're so far away from the ground that if anything was to happen up there, la qadar Allah, it wouldn't be nice, right? And so you're traveling in the air and there's turbulence. Immediately you see people starting to pray. Immediately you see people asking, you know, those that are religious, oh my God, you know, pray for us, right? Immediately you hear people yelling out, oh my God, right? They're going to, and they're like atheists when you talk to them. 5 minutes earlier, you're sitting there talking to them. They're like, yeah, I don't believe in any religion. And then as soon as the plane starts to shake, oh my God, what's going on? What do you mean, oh my God? There is no God for you, apparently, right? You don't believe in a God. And they're like, no, 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 I don't mean it that way. Forget this, man. We're going through turbulence. We're not having this conversation right now. So subhanAllah, that happens, right? And people, you know, it's because we have a lot of luxuries in life. And you'll see this as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points it out in the next few examples that we're going to take, the luxuries of life. And how, you know, we give in to them, and we would turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He gave us all the luxuries of this world. But alhamdulillah, He didn't give that to us. If we go to verse number 88 and 89, actually, no, go to verses number 33 and 35 of Surah Al-Zukhruf. Okay, verse number 33, 34, 35 of Surah Al-Zukhruf. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the bottom of the page. Verse number 33. Were it not that people might be tempted to become one community of disbelievers, we would have supplied the whole in the passion, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would have supplied their homes with silver roofs, a roof made out of silver, stairways, as well as gates that, so tafsir say, because of the way that the Arabic is worded, all of these are made out of silver. So the roof is made out of silver, the stairs are made out of silver, the gates are made out of silver. The thing that we're on is going to be made out of gold. Yet all this is no more than a fleeting enjoyment in this worldly life. But the hereafter with your Lord is only for those mindful of Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that for those, sorry, He's saying that if He was to give, inshallah, be patient with it. Be patient with it. If you want, you can go on to my Instagram. Go on to Instagram, Daud Butt, and you'll be able to watch it there, inshallah. I know some of you are complaining that the streaming is getting choppy. I'll move my iPad away from it, so, you know, there's some space to move around. But subhanAllah, you know what? Maybe I have a pod here. Maybe I'll move away from the pod so that maybe the Wi-Fi is better in this area. It's like coming up and going towards you, inshallah. All right, I'll just sit back away from the pod, inshallah, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that, you know, if He made for all those who disbelieve, if He gave them beautiful homes with golden roofs and golden walls and gates and, you know, thrones to sit on and all of that, and adornments made out of gold, that you had clothing and jewelry and stuff made out of gold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if it wasn't for our love of this dunya, people would, they would just rush for it, right? Human beings would go and enjoy the fact that Allah is blessing them with all of these things in this dunya, and they would reject Allah and forget Allah and take all of the bounties. And he's saying, if I was to give that to all those who disbelieve, there'd be so many people who disbelieve, because we'd give in to the dunya, we'd give in to, you know, the luxuries of this life. And so, my brothers and sisters, we're allowed to enjoy the luxuries of this life. We're allowed to have them. We're allowed to, you know, to benefit from them. But it shouldn't get to our hearts. So here's an example. If you're holding on to something, if there's something that you own that has a lot of value to you, as in sentimental value, it's not really worth much, but it has sentimental value, and you have enough money in your bank account to buy another one of exactly the same value, the same quality. For example, it's, I don't know, a pen, right? Let's just say this, and you're holding on to it, and you have enough money to buy the exact same one all over again, but for some reason you're holding on to this one, then that means we are attached to this dunya more than we may be attached to Allah. Because if someone says, give this away for the sake of Allah, and we're not able to give it away for the sake of Allah, then there's a problem in our hearts with our connection to things being stronger than our connection to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we can't give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the things that we treasure and enjoy of this world, then it's a sad state for ourselves. So we need to be careful of that, my brothers and sisters. Let's move on. We'll continue with verse number 88. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the people don't believe, right? The mushrikun, they don't believe. And this is in verses number 88 and 89. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to be patient with it, right? Allah tells him, be patient. He says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقْ Yeah, verse number 87. If you ask them, O Prophet, who created them? They will certainly say Allah. How can they then be deluded from the truth? You see, at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same example. At the end of the surah, again, it comes up. If you ask them who created them, they will tell you that it's Allah. Allah is aware of the Prophet's cry. Allah knows what you're saying, O Muhammad. He can hear you. He understands. He knows what's in your hearts, right? O my Lord, indeed, these are people who persist in disbelief. So bear with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, bear with them and respond with peace. They will soon come to know. It is not us. It is not us to punish other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bear with them, with patience, be patient. You know, be calm, be easy, take it easy, cool down. Bear with it, deal with it with patience. And know, they will soon come to know. As in, Allah will take care of them. It's not us to do that. So you continue in your mission. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ Right? The Prophet ﷺ was sent for to perfect our manners and characteristics. And he was sent as a mercy to all of the human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so that we can worship him and so on. And that is the examples that we look at when we are trying to live our lives and come closer to Allah, and you know, we sway away from it, we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who choose to go away and intentionally stay away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, you know, they will soon know. Very soon they'll know the outcome of what it is that they're doing. Let's move to Surah Ad-Dukhan. We don't have much time. Surah Ad-Dukhan. Again, it begins with Hamim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hamim, Wal Kitabil Mubin, Inna Anzalnahu Fi Laylatin Mubarakatin, Inna Kunna Munzirin, Fiha Yufraqu Kullu Amrin Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Laylatul Qadr here once again. He says, Hamim, by the clear book, Wal Kitab al Mubin. Indeed, we sent it down on a blessed night. Tonight could be that night. You look at the sky, Allahu Akbar, it's calm. People say, oh, tonight is not Laylatul Qadr, let's just chill because, you know, there's too many clouds in the skies. Don't think that. Laylatul Qadr can be when Allah wants it to be. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that there are so many angels that descend on the night of Laylatul Qadr that they are more than the amount of pebbles on earth. Subhanallah, right? So we sent it down, the Quran, on a blessed night, for we always warn against evils. On that night, every matter of wisdom is ordained. So you want goodness for the next year, for example. Be good to Allah today. Right? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, can change anything for us. We make dua to Allah, and Allah can change our decree. He can change our future. But we need to be good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel so far away from you because I'm trying to give the internet some space to breathe. Then in verses number 9 to 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will send down the smoke, right, as a sign for the Day of Judgment. And that's the title of this surah, Surah Ad-Dukhan, right? In fact, they are in doubt, amusing themselves. Wait then for the day when the sky will be veiled in haze, clearly visible, overwhelming the people. They will cry, this is a punishment. This is a painful torment. Our Lord, remove this torment from us and we will certainly believe. They won't believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the hardships. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. He removes the hardships. And what do we see happening? People still don't believe. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends something to us, we as individuals, regardless of what society is doing, we as individuals need to understand that this is a sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of before the day of judgment, Allah will send this cloud or smoke, and it'll be a sign or an indication of the day of judgment, right? The coming of the end of time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as the sky being veiled by haze, clearly visible, right? بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. So you can see this haze, you can't see anything else. And I've been to places on earth during a time when they're burning crops and stuff and you can't see anything except haze and it's so bad, the air is so polluted you can't even breathe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day will send something far more severe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all. Ameen. Let's move to Surah Al-Jathiyah, and we'll take one example from there, inshallah. Verse number 24 of Surah Al-Jathiyah. Okay. Verse number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ وَمَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they argue, there is nothing beyond our worldly life. We die, others are born, and nothing destroys us but time, the passage of time. Yet they have no knowledge in support of this claim, and they only speculate. So here we see an example of people who say, Allah doesn't destroy this world. Allah's not the one who's in control. We live this life and then we die. We live the appointed time. We live until we're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, 100 years old, and then we die. And so they say that there's nothing beyond our worldly life. We die and others are born. So this life is it. We live this life and khalas. No, there is a hereafter. And Allah is saying that in the surah, right? There's a hereafter. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, and the surah is called the kneeling, right? The people will be kneeling down. They'll be bending down, kneeling down. And we see that at the end of the surah, because on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises us, people will be kneeling down, right? And so they will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, that we know that we will die. We know that we will be resurrected. We know that people will be kneeling down. But here, the people think that they will die and they will not be resurrected, right? They will live this life and that's it. Khalas, there's nothing more. And so there is a hereafter. And that's a message for those who disbelieve in the hereafter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created something more to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us throughout these days of Ramadan. Honestly, my brothers and sisters, today was the one day I wanted to cancel, but I didn't. I just ate something yesterday that didn't go so well with me, and I've spent the whole day trying to keep my stomach untied from this nasty knot. However, having said that, we are going to be live streaming at 10:45 tonight from the inside of the Islamic Community Center of Milton, inshallah. So please do join us there. Don't join us there. Join us online, right? We will be there, and we are not letting anyone inside. So we'll be live streaming from there. But please stay home, inshallah, and join us online. And also, one thing that the masjid has started as well is, you've probably received it if you're on the WhatsApp mailing list. A message went out not too long ago, within the last hour, I believe, of the donations that we need. And you can donate online, but also there will be volunteers at the masjid between 9 o'clock. So, you know, if anyone wants to head over there and listen to the adhan, for example, is being called outside, you can do that just before Maghrib. And then from 9 o'clock, as in right after Maghrib, and I don't know how that's going to work, but I received the message and I'm just, you know, letting you know about it. From 9 o'clock onwards, there will be like a drive-through donation for money, right? So if you want to tap your card, or if you want to give your checks, or you want to fill out a pledge form, or you want to donate, you know, cash, or, you know, whatever it is, you can donate in person at the masjid, but outside of the masjid. So it will be like a drive-through donation set up at the masjid, or outside the masjid, I should say, for the next few days until the end of the month of Ramadan, till the last day of Ramadan, inshallah. So if anyone wants to just head over to the masjid between 9 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. So between 9 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. every single night, you know, the brothers and the sisters, I assume, on the volunteer team will be out there handling that for people who want to pull up and donate outside of the masjid. And we will be live streaming from inside of the masjid, so hopefully you're at home watching. But if anyone wants to do that, inshallah, yes, you can donate online. And you can simply donate online very easily by visiting the masjid website. Okay, it's very easy to visit the masjid website. It is right here in front of you on the screen. Okay, so iknamilton.com. Jazakumullahu khairan for everyone who attended. Barakallahu feekum. We'll see you later tonight. Sheikh Riyad is joining us tonight online. So please do join us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.